Let's go ahead and pray, and then we do have one more that I want to tell you about, but I feel like the Lord wants us to seal up before we go on to the next thing. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness, Lord, and we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come. And Lord, all these events that we laid out, Lord God, it's not just because we want to fill our calendar, but just like Cindy said, that when the people from TSSM got a word from you, it was because God said. And that, Lord, truly all these events that we're doing, we're stepping into, is because we feel like you said to do these things. And that, Lord, we believe with all our heart there's going to be major, major fruit that's going to be produced, not just in the life of our church, but every single person here and present, Lord, also every single person that we're connected to, there's going to be fruit produced because of what you're doing inside of us. And we say, Holy Spirit, come, move in our hearts as you would. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we do have one more conference, just to mark it on your calendar. I'm not going to go into great details, but I'm so excited about this. Papa Jack's going to be coming back. We're really excited about that. How many people were here last year when Papa Jack was here? So that's good, about half of us. And so it'll be May 5th through the 7th. It's going to be a Friday night through Sunday morning. He'll preach here, and then Sunday night he's going to be going to Kingdom Life in San Antonio, some friends of ours, to preach there. But he's also bringing his good friend Charles Caron, and if Matthew's still in here, he might be upstairs. The quote about that there's been a silent divorce in the church actually came from R.T. Kendall. And R.T. is good friends with Jack and Charles, and they've been traveling around for the last 16, 17 years doing Word, Spirit, Power conferences and throughout the world, and especially in the states and in the southern states too, really being able to say, look, the Word of God is powerful, and RT is the Word guy. I mean, he is one of the greatest, I think, theologians of our time. We're very blessed to be able to be in relationship with him. In fact, back in when he was in Abilene in October, I got to have dinner with them, and just a gracious, gracious man. And but RT won't be with us, but specifically Charles, who's the power guy, and Jack, Papa Jack is the spirit guy, will be with us. And so I encourage you, begin to sign up now. Begin to tell your friends about it. And what I am doing right now, one of the reasons I don't have the registration link set up completely yet is because I believe that God may want to open us up beyond our sanctuary. So I'm talking to a few friends of ours that have a bigger sanctuary that we may be able to utilize for that weekend, because I really believe that Papa and Charles are going to release something powerful into our region. So make sure you put that on that calendar as we move forward. So if you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we'll get there in a second. And just to let you know, one thing we're going to do at the very end of service here is we're going to be bringing back in Gary's class, our first through fourth graders, because they've been going through being taught on how to lay hands on the sick for a while. And if we believe that there's no junior Holy Spirit, we believe that we need to activate and empower the kids where they're at now. And so we're going to have them come up and actually join with our altar ministry team at the end of service. And so if you have an illness, an injury, something that you need prayer for, I want to encourage you that our kids are going to come, because they've been seeing things happen. Like, God's really been responding to that childlike faith, and that'll be at the end of the service. And then we have a couple of our folks that'll be in here. They're going to go out to the pre-K room, and then also somebody out to our toddler room, so those children in those classrooms can activate what they've been taught about how to lay hands on sick. So just know that's going to come at the end of service. But as I've been praying about where we were supposed to go for today, the Lord really has been moving on my heart about how important it is for us not to despise the things that God is wanting to do now because of a negative experience of the past. And a lot of times that becomes because we actually get hurt in our spirits or in our souls because we've seen an abuse or misuse of the things of God. And it causes us to shy away because we allow failed humanity, who should be representing the Lord well, and they don't represent the Lord well, and then we get this view of God and his gifts from a negative view. And I really believe the Lord is, if he's wanting to set things into alignment in the spirit. I was sharing with somebody recently this week that one of the prophetic words that was given to us as a church, but specifically to me as a minister, was that the calling that we had in this region was to be a safe place for people to come in and experience the healthy view of God and his spirit. Both the word and the spirit married together produces wholeness, not division and not fear. And it's kind of like, how do you boil a frog? You don't put it into boiling water because it's going to jump right out. You put it into a pot of water, you turn up the heat, and over time it begins to get to a place where it boils. And that's really for us, we have an atmosphere where it's really wherever you're at in your walk, we want you to feel like you can come in at that place where the temperature is just right for you to get in, but you know there's more of God, but it's not so hot that it's going to make you jump out. Okay, that also means that there's going to be people in here that sit next to you or left or right of you that are at different places in their own walk, in their own experience, where their temperature threshold may be a little bit higher or a little bit lower, and that's okay, right? Whenever we say that we're only going to look like this, we're only going to minister to a certain segment of the population, and therefore we're not actually really building up the fullness of the body of Christ. But that also requires an engagement or a partnership with people in our congregation to say, you know what, I'm responsible for me and my faith, and God says more for me. He has more for me. I'm not going to compare myself where somebody else is or isn't, but I'm going to continue to pursue him. And I can celebrate, maybe it's somebody like they're ready for hot water. I'm to the place in my walk where, man, I like hot water. I like boiling water. I'm going to jump in, and it's great. And I've still been in environments, let me tell you this, I've been in some environments sometimes where the water's still a little hot for me and I feel a little uncomfortable. And I have to kind of step out for a second and kind of get back in. If you've ever been to one of those, like we were in Pagosa Springs over there in August, and they got these pools, outdoor sulfur springs pools, and they've got different temperatures on those pools. And when we go to the hotter temperature one, you know, I could get in there for maybe a minute and I'm like, whew, man, this is hot, and I'd have to get back out. Right, and then I'd get back in. But the key was I kept getting back in. Right, there's more that God has for you, is my point. And so we are a house that believes in all the fullness, the movement of the Holy Spirit, all the gifts of the Spirit. I don't believe in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that was an exhaustive list of spiritual gifts. I don't think that's Paul's intention. I think he was giving us an idea of some of the ones that we were most prevalent that were showing up in the church at Corinth. But specifically, he's saying, let's understand about the spiritual gifts. And there's this, the key says, about spiritual gifts, I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, around verse 1, where it says, I don't want you to be ignorant. And when you look back into the original transcripts, the word gift actually doesn't show up. Actually, what it says is about the spiritual life that God has made you for, I don't want you to be ignorant about it. I don't want you to be unaware. I want you to be fully understanding what is available to you in the Spirit. And so we believe fully, as what goes with the kids and what's going on with the adults, that we're teaching these kids out here what's available to them. We don't want them to be ignorant. We don't want them to be unaware of every good gift that God has for them. And we're going to teach them before the world teaches them or the traditions of man teach them. But we have this safe environment for they can learn directly from the Father himself and how we want to set that up. And so I had it on my calendar. Erica has been doing an amazing job with the children's ministry. And last Sunday, all of our classrooms taught on the gift of tongues, the prayer language. And I had planned on speaking that same day about the gift of tongues, so that what they were learning, we in here were learning at the same time, because I felt it was important for us to have a cohesiveness of what God is doing. But when I wrote it down on my calendar, I wrote down the wrong date. I thought it was today. So I think it was God's divine timing, because part of what was happened is those kids received their prayer language. My daughter was one of them. It was awesome. I got to have a conversation with her and ask her questions and what was it like and back and forth. And it was an amazing thing, to where if you have questions today as a parent, or maybe you've heard about what's going on in the children's ministry, I believe that the Lord wants to bring clarity for you today. That there doesn't need to be a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, as God is wanting to sow these things into us. So let me read you real quick out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I start with this verse for this reason. Sometimes with the things of the Spirit of God, we're wondering, is it the devil, or is it Jesus, or is it the flesh? And that's a wise question to ask. We need the gift of discernment to be able to discern, is this somebody, is this the devil, or is this God? But let me say this. When the fruit of the Spirit produces these things, it's going to produce a greater love for Jesus. The whole point of all of this is that Jesus may be glorified and that his kingdom would be extended throughout all of the earth. Jesus wants to speak to you personally and individually. He has good gifts for you. The Father in heaven has good gifts for you. And so if you ask that question, is that, I don't know, they're over there doing that thing, is that Jesus? Let me ask you, go ask them, are you more in love with Jesus now? And if their answer is yes, Jesus is a blessing to me, it's the Holy Spirit. Right? I mean, it's the Holy Spirit that's moving inside them, because this verse says, if it's demonic, the demonic is not going to be able to say Jesus is blessed. If you're speaking by the Spirit of God, you will never say Jesus is a curse. Only a blessing. I love that God doesn't leave it up for interpretation when it comes to that. There's other areas of interpretation that are needed, but when it talks about what the purpose of it is, the purpose of it is that God may be glorified in everything that we do, both corporately and individually. So it says this, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's a differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all and all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Let me hear you say the profit of all. In other words, it's going to benefit everyone. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So let me give you an example. Early on in my faith walk, when I began to encounter the things of God, I had developed a theology that is not in alignment with the Word of God. And it actually took this verse and says, well, not everyone is going to be able to pray in tongues, or not everyone's going to be able to heal, or not everybody's going to work miracles or any of those things, because it says to each one was given a gift. And I built up this theology and said, well, God only wants to give this one, this one, this one, this one, and this one. But you others, you're going to want it, but you're not going to get it. The problem with that is that it doesn't create diversity in the body. It creates division in the body. Right? It creates jealousy in the body. And God's not going to bring division or jealousy within his body. What he's saying is the Holy Spirit's going to give the gifts as he wills, and what he wills is that everyone would have the gifts. You understand what I'm saying? Like, if you will earnestly desire, we'll get to this verse in a second, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, the Holy Spirit wants to give you the gifts. So all the gifts are a gift from God. It's a gift from God. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good gift, every perfect gift, is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In other words, any of these gifts come directly from the Father. And it says this, he doesn't show favoritism. He wants to give it to all. Let me ask you this question. Why would I not want every good gift that God has? That's not meant to be I've got something that you don't have and all that. Remember, this is not about division. There's a diversity of our walk and our faith. But this is what God challenged me with. He says, I've got more for you. I've got more for you. Why would you not want what I have to give from you? On Christmas morning, imagine this. Your kids are excited. They run down. There's the Christmas tree. And you've got five gifts for them. And you say, all these gifts are from you, or for you, from me. And they go, well, I just want this one, this one, and this one. But I'm going to leave these other two unpacked. Does that make much sense? What do? They devour them. They tear it apart, paper going everywhere, because they know that every good and perfect gift comes from their parents, right? In the same way, the Father wants to give us gifts so that we may benefit from every gift that he has. But here's the beauty of it. He doesn't force us. He doesn't force you. It's an invitation to receive a gift, not a gift that's forced upon you, because then it really becomes something that he doesn't reflect his heart. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 says this, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. And look what it says. they will speak with new tongues. So there's this gift, and remember today we're going to focus specifically on speaking in tongues, the gift of tongues. There's this gift that the Father wants to give us specifically, and it's going to become a sign that Jesus has touched our life. So there's a blessing, there's a benefit that comes from these gifts, not just corporately, but individually. I love what it says, Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, he was preaching the gospel to Cornelius, his household. And so he just told him the gospel of Jesus Christ. While he was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. In other words, those who were Jewish, who became believers in Christ, means they were circumcised believers, thought that the Holy Spirit was only going to come on a select few. They thought that the gift from the Father above is only going to be for the Jews who are in a relationship. Instead, this is a group of Gentiles who didn't follow any of their laws, any of the rules, any of their regulations. But instead, the Father says, my gift is for everyone, and it's a good gift. And look what it says. They were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues. Let me hear you say, speak with tongues. And magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these who should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And as he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, they asked him to stay a few more days, and he basically taught them. So open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we'll start with verse 1. And this is the New Living Translation. It says this, let love be your highest goal. Let me hear you say, let love be my highest goal. In other words, the motivation of my heart to do anything, whether that's to use a gift, to tell somebody about Jesus, must be rooted in the Father's love. Not even human love. It cannot be rooted in human love. It must be rooted in the Father's love. So let my highest goal in everything that I do be because I want to release the Father's love wherever I go. It says, but you should also desire. Let me hear you say desire. It says it here in another part of this passage. It says earnestly desire. That word for desire is the same word for lust. Does it mess anybody up? Like God's saying to lust after? Yes. Earnestly lust after, earnestly desire. Burn with desire the spiritual gifts. So often we use this idea of lust in the negative. And truly, whenever you do something out of the covenant of God, and you're empowered by the devil or that dark spirit, it's going to turn up into a negative way. But how about we fast from the negative and let's embrace and feast on what's the positive? The God's truth says, earnestly desire every good gift. Lust after every good gift from above. That's a command from God. That's not my interpretation. That's what the scripture says. So why would you not want every good gift? Not just what we're talking about today, but the other things that God has for us. So it should desire produce something inside of us to want more. It says, so you should desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you, but you will be speaking by the power of the Spirit. But it will all be mysterious. I love what it says in the Amplified Version. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. Now, let me stop us there for a second. Here's how that verse can be misinterpreted. Speaking in tongues is bad because it's selfish. Only prophesy because it's got to only be for the benefit of everyone around you. That's not what it's saying. What it's saying is this. It's good to both prophesy and to speak in tongues. But when you're in a corporate meeting and setting and going about, if I came up here the whole time and my whole entire message was in my prayer language, would it benefit you? No. Maybe a little bit. Maybe for a moment you go, oh, that's so cool. Or, you know, God's, he's touched. But it's not going to be a benefit of all. That's what Paul's saying. But when he says to make sure that you prophesy in the corporate, that doesn't now also say, but you evil people, you selfish people, don't speak in tongues. Because it's bad to build yourself up personally. Let me ask you a question. Does God love the entire world? Does the entire world include you? So is it okay to build yourself up in him? It doesn't say build yourself up in pride, build yourself up in what you can do, how much you know. Those are things about build in the flesh. But in the Spirit of God, it's going to build you up to become all that God created and redeemed you to be. So it's important for us to understand how important a gift that this is. It says, one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts. We do that. But a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, and that is good. Verse 5 says, I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues, unless someone interprets what you're saying so that the whole church will be strengthened. Dear brothers and sisters, if I should come to you speaking in an unknown language, how would that help you? But if I bring you a revelation or some special knowledge or prophecy or teaching, that would be very helpful. Even lifeless instruments like the flute or the harp must play the notes clearly or no one will recognize the melody. If the bugler does not sound a clear call, how will the soldiers know they're being called to battle? It's the same for you. If you speak to the people in words they don't understand, how will they know what you're saying? You might as well be talking into empty space. There are many different languages in the world, and every language has meaning. But if I don't understand a language, I'll be a foreigner to someone who speaks it, and the one who speaks it will be a foreigner to me. The same is true for you. Since you're eager to have the special abilities the Spirit gives, seek those that will strengthen the whole church. Let me stop us on there. Seek those that will strengthen the whole church. I'm going to tell you, a prayer language strengthens the whole church because you are all each individual members of the church. So as you are strengthened, we are strengthened. See, sometimes it says, well, it's got to be just for everybody else and we got to shut everything down that makes somebody feel uncomfortable. No. What it's saying is be strengthened individual in the Spirit because he's going to speak things to your spirit. Remember, you are spirit, soul, and body. You're a triune being. The challenge happens is this, is whenever we let our soul rise above our spirit and we become very soulish and my mind, my will, and emotions become the key to everything the way I live our life. You know what that's called? Living in the flesh. That leads to sin. That leads to separation. But there's something about bringing our soul and our spirit into alignment underneath our spirit. And what I'm telling you is, when you pray in the Spirit, when you pray in tongues, there's something that is activated inside of you that brings your soul, your thoughts, your mind, your will, your emotions, underneath the Holy Spirit. So that right alignment is brought, wholeness is brought. And in those things, he is speaking things into you that you couldn't have gotten any other way. See, God doesn't want to get you just through your intellect. God is not anti-intellect, but if you use your intellect alone to be able to determine what is God or not, you're going to limit yourself. Because God exists outside the intellect of man. God exists outside the intellect of man. Adam and Eve traded in the intimacy with God for the intellect of man. Remember what happened in the Garden of Eden? They ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the intellect of man, self-serving, self-source. So there's something that happens in this, in the strengthening of the whole church. Now, let me say this real quick. Does that mean in the course of our worship service, if somebody all of a sudden right now starts to go up and starts to prophesy in tongues, start to speak loudly in tongues, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to wait for the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask him. One, I'm using the gift of discernment. God, is that you? Okay. Are you wanting to say something? And I'm going to wait. Is there an interpretation that's going to come? If the interpretation comes in, I'm going to be very kind to the individual, say, I'm not sure that that's for the Lord right now. That might be in your prayer language, but that's not for the corporate time right now. Thank you very much. Very honoring, very loving. But if it's of the Lord, there's going to be an interpretation. We're going to activate the gift and it's going to strengthen and build up this. I've been in a couple meetings where I've seen this happen, and I can promise you, the very first time was when we were baptized with the Holy Spirit the first time. We were up at Gateway Church, and it was the second night, I think, of that conference. And this lady over on my right stands up and starts during, I think it was at the tail end of worship, like one of those quiet moments, and she starts, "Shambada shadadidamada shadadadama," and she's going to town, and I'm going, at first I go, "What is that?" Right? Because I didn't know what it was. But all of a sudden, I felt the Holy Spirit say, "Do you trust me? I'm in this. Will you not allow your feelings to override me?" And so I said, "Okay, God, I trust you." And so she just began to do. And even before the interpretation came, I felt a strength begin to enter into me. I felt a comfort begin to enter into the room. I felt the very holy presence of God begin to come into the room. So powerful and so present. It was almost like I'm afraid to utter a peep because it would interrupt the king who has come into the room. And then somebody else stood up and began to interpret what was said. And it built us up. It encouraged. It comforted. It was powerful. So I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to operate like that. It builds up the whole entire church. But what I really want to press into today for you is this. Individually, you and the Lord with a prayer language. Being able to pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit directly to the Father, the Spirit coming down into you and ministering to your heart that brings a benefit and a blessing. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39 says this, "So my dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and don't forbid speaking in tongues." So here's the things that the prayer language will do. The prayer language will build you up personally. It will build you up personally. Jude chapter 1, verse 20 says this, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up." Let me hear you say, building yourselves up. And look how it says it. "Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Excuse me. There's another verse, and I didn't read it, but in Corinthians it talks about later on where I can both pray in the Spirit and pray in known languages. I can both sing in the Spirit and sing with known languages. And that in that process, there's a benefit to everything. Now, what can end up happening is all of that in the Holy Spirit? Yes. When my heart and my soul responds to Him, the Holy Spirit blesses it, even when I'm praying in English. It's partnering with it. But specifically what Jude is talking about, this phraseology, what it's talking about is that as you pray in the Spirit, this is not in known language. This is in the Spirit of the language of the Spirit. It's going to be an unknown tongue to you. It's going to be words and phrases that come out that you don't know specifically what they are. And it says if you want to be built up, there's a benefit to you to praying in the Spirit. Now, if you're sitting there right now and saying, "Well, I don't have my prayer language," don't feel lack. Like, don't feel like this message is saying, like, "I have something that you don't. I'm better than you." That's ridiculous. This don't come into alignment with an orphan spirit. What I'm saying is this: is that what's available to us is there's more. Remember the analogy of the frog getting in the water. Where are you at in that temperature? Because I believe the Lord wants to take you to a higher temperature, and through your prayer language, it's going to engage you. That means there's more benefit to you. If you want it, it's available. If you don't, it's okay. We don't look down on anybody that doesn't operate in any of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, there are those in the body of Christ who operate very immaturely, and they've created this paradigm that unless you do what we do, then you're less than. And I hate that. That's a spirit of religion. That's not the Spirit of God. That's the spirit of religion. And so I want you to feel comfortable here. Wherever you're at in your walk, God has more for you. It's available to you. And it's a benefit to you. I'm telling you about this because it's a benefit. Not because it's something that you get to go do or you have to do something for the Lord. It's something that's going to build you up. 1 Corinthians 14:3. "But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, comforts them. But a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally." Romans 8:26, "The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words." The Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads with us believers, for us believers, in harmony with God's own will. In other words, it's in this moment that when I'm praying, it's not me activating my language center in my brain. It's me saying, Lord, I surrender so wholly, so completely to you that I don't want to do this on my own strength. I don't want to pray in my own strength. I don't even want to pray in my own spirit. I want to pray in your spirit. And I surrender wholly to him. And what happens is the Holy Spirit comes and begins to activate. And if you know, like, where your spirit is located, it just begins to bubble up out. Groanings. And in a couple of verses previous, I think it's in verse 23, that same Romans passage, it says, we humans groan as we pray. Talking about in the known language. So he uses the same language when it talks about the Spirit praying through us, is that we would groan for the things of God. And it disconnects human effort and reconnects into Holy Spirit through us. So it's a personal benefit. Let me hear you say it's a personal benefit. Speaking in tongues is a weapon. Let me hear you say it's a weapon. And specifically for spiritual warfare and intercession, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in, let me hear you say in, the Holy Spirit. So God has given us this great weapon. When you don't know what to pray for, you turn on the news and there's a tragedy going on. I remember, was it last week or whenever that shooting was going on over at the mall, Rolling Oaks Mall. I didn't know what to pray other than I went to my spirit. I just went to my prayer language, God. There's no right words that I think of in my own. So God, and I just began to pray in the spirit, praying for him. There's a benefit. It's a warfare. It's a weapon. I was listening to, I think it was Benny Johnson was talking about their son, Brian, who has been the worship leader at Bethel for a number of years now. But when he was younger, he dealt with a lot of oppression, a lot of night terrors and things like that, fear, anxiety. And she was talked about when he was in his, even like elementary age all the way through even high school. She would walk into his room and he would just be having this night terror and anxiety. And the Lord says, you pray in the spirit right now. You don't know what's going on. You know something's going on. You begin to pray. And as she began just to pray in the spirit over him, said this peace and this calm began to come into the room and it began to disarm the things of the devil. Now, can I explain that to you? God's doing something that's beyond. Do I understand fully what was taking place? No, but do I need to? Why is it that we have to understand something before we engage in it? That's not faith. Faith is stepping out before you understand it. The knowledge of him, not the knowledge of good and evil. When I have a knowledge of his goodness, that encounter with his heart, it causes me to step out in faith before I understand it so that he can do something beyond your understanding. He says, just ask me and I'll do things infinitely more than you might ask, think, or imagine. Brother Albert was teaching a message recently and he just brought it up. He said, if God's supposed to do things that no eye has seen and no ear has heard of before, why are we confining God down to what we have seen and what we've heard already? Because if you do that, you've limited God to only what you know and what you see and what you hear. Instead of, God, you want to do things that I've never seen, I've never heard, and I trust you. Because you are the holy, righteous one from heaven. Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus really is who he says he is? Is he the Messiah? Is he the Word became flesh? Is he the one that saved your soul? Can you then trust him? That's what speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit is about. Putting a higher trust in him, in his ability to do things than what you can do. And that's not denigrating praying in a known tongue. It's absolutely beneficial. In fact, again, in 1 Corinthians 14, it says that I will pray in a known language and I will pray in tongues. I will sing in a known language and I will sing in a tongue. Did you know, like, sometimes when we say, now just sing in the spirit, from the platform, the worship team saying that, what it's going to do is it's an invitation to speak into. Just begin to just let it bubble out, because it changes the atmosphere. Let me give you one more point on this too, about how it benefits us. Remember when it talks about a corporate gift, is that if one prays in tongues or speaks in tongues, there needs to be interpretation. I think there's an invitation from the Father for you to ask Him what He's praying for you, through you. It's okay to press in for interpretation. When I first began in my prayer language, I had no context. Now I get nuances of what He's doing. Like I can tell you, as I'm praying in the Spirit, all of a sudden I can feel, I kind of know what He's doing, what He's going after. It's this partnership with heaven, and it encourages me now to go after it even more. So it should be a thing that we get to do instead of what we have to do. Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Last thing is this, second to last, part of God's plan to unite heaven and earth. This is part of God's plan to unite heaven and earth. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 says this, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. Do you remember the story of the Tower of Babel? The people were very wicked. They all had one language in the beginning of time, and they began to do things out of their self-effort. And God says, if we allow this to continue with one language, there's nothing they cannot accomplish. And so He struck down the Tower of Babel. He confused the languages and made many different languages, because if they stayed in their wickedness, He knew that it would be difficult to be able to break through that. But His plan, original plan, was to have one language. God doesn't need plan B. He always works off of plan A. There's different ways He gets about what He's going after, but there's still one language, one tongue that He's going after. It says this in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9, for then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Lord to serve Him with one accord. I'm going to be careful in how I say this. This is not to create division in the body of Christ from those who believe in speaking in tongues or believe in the gifts of the Spirit and those who do not. That's not the heart of the Father, one bit. Okay, so when I say His desire is to bring this together, one language, there's something that happens whenever I begin to pray in the Spirit that my pride gets dealt with. Why? Because I'm having to humble myself before Him. I'm being willing to be made a fool of before men. He wants to bring us together and unite. So I don't look at those who don't believe what we believe and say, well, gosh, they're less than. No, I will still go love on them and work with them, and we will do these things together. But what I'm telling you is there's more. If you don't yet speak in tongues, you don't have your prayer language, it's okay. But there's more. It's a good gift because God wants to do something. And look what it says. It says that they may call on the name of the Lord to serve Him with one accord. This is all about serving the King. Yeah, let's read that verse. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And I want to bring the kids in here to pray in a second. Verse 1 says this, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. Let me hear you say one accord. One place. One accord. One place. What are we reading in Zephaniah? The language would unite them into one purpose. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let me hear you say, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Spirit empowered them in this, but who did the speaking? They did. Look at that verse where it says, they began speaking in other languages. So they partnered with heaven, one accord, one mind, seeking the gift of the Father. Holy Spirit comes upon them. They surrender to Him. He begins to bubble up inside of them, but they had a choice. Do you know that that moment, if they didn't want it, they could have stopped it? So you have a choice. This is what I'm telling you. I love what Robert Morris said. He says, you're not going to be in Walmart one day, and the Holy Spirit's going to fall on you, and uncontrollably, you're going to go grab the microphone and start going, you have self-control. A fruit of the Spirit is self-control. God wants to partner with you in what he's doing. Okay, but it was the Holy Spirit that gave them the ability. They partnered with them, and the words that came out were the Holy Spirit. But it came through their mouth. It says, then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each other in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, a bunch of other places, all the parts, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, all these people, we all hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? They asked this question. It was a sign that made them ask the question, where is this coming from? See, signs, miracles, and wonders are to challenge the way that you think, that you ask the question, where is this coming from, so the Father can speak. After this was when Peter speaks up and he begins to give the gospel presentation and 3,000 are saved that day. But the important thing is this, is that sometimes when you're speaking in a prayer language, God might give you a gift on how to speak Spanish. Now, we all grew up in this area, so we kind of understand, you know, that's probably Spanish. But what if it's an unknown tongue that's in a tribe in the middle of the forest in South America? I've heard testimonies of somebody who was just praying for a prayer language, and they got these tongues, and they got on the ground, and they just began to pray in the Spirit, and their interpreter taps them on the shoulder and goes, who taught you our language? So if we shut that off, we're shutting off what God wants to do through us. So maybe sometimes it's not going to be a heavenly tongue. He might be downloading to you an earthly tongue so that somebody might know Jesus Christ. How are you going to know, though, if you shut it down? So we need to make room for God to be able to operate. And look what it says here real quick, too. I'm going to say this. They were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? But look what it is. Others mock, saying they're full of new wine. Others were not going to understand it. And to this day, others don't understand it, and they mock. Now, does that get me defensive? No. Should that get us defensive and shut it down? No. Should we attack them? No. But God wants to reach every single person, but he's not going to force them. So what I'm telling you is, don't be afraid if somebody mocks you because you have a prayer language. They may not have the revelation of Jesus that you do. Give them grace. This is not an us versus them thing. This is about us and him thing and what he's wanting to do in the earth. And so just release and surrender over to him. It's always your choice. Let me read you one more quick study, and then I want to bring these kids in. There was a study that was done in 2006 at the University of Pennsylvania that took brain images of 5 people while they spoke in tongues. The research was published in the New York Times and also, I think, a Dateline episode. The leader of the study team was Dr. Andrew Newberg, who arrived at this conclusion. And here's what they did is they took CT scans of those who prayed in the Spirit and wanted to see what was happening inside of them. Then they took CT scans of those who didn't pray in the Spirit, and they were able to compare them. It says, we noticed a number of changes that occurred functionally in the brain. Our finding of decreased activity in the frontal lobes during the practice of the speaking in tongues is fascinating because these subjects truly believe that the Spirit of God is moving through them and controlling them to speak. Our brain imaging research shows us that these subjects are not in control of the usual language centers during this activity, which is consistent with their description of a lack of intentional control while speaking in tongues. You want science? There's science. You want proof this is not the flesh? There it is right there. Certainly you can fake it. And let me say this. I was talking to Kelly about our personal story and journey through it. And I received my prayer language a little bit before Kelly did, and we're having conversations. And we went through the study, The God I Never Knew by Robert Morris, which is a great study. It's a great intro level into the Spirit. And Robert was telling this testimony about how, because he came from a Southern Baptist background, and how he received his prayer language. And he says, you know, I just couldn't understand it. I wanted it, and it wasn't happening. But he says, I was trying to get my mind wrapped around this thing. One morning, they wake up, and his wife, Debbie, goes, do you know what you were doing last night? He goes, no, what? She goes, you were praying in tongues while you were asleep. He goes, what? And the Lord downloaded to him and says, you've been asking me for this gift, and I want to give it to you, and I believe that you earnestly want this gift, but you were so intellectually trying to figure it out, you were shutting it down. So I had to wait till you fell asleep so I could bypass your brain to get to your spirit and pray through you. And now he prays in the spirit. And so we were talking this thing through, and Kelly had an experience when they were late elementary, early middle school. They were up in Michigan living, and we're at a charismatic church. And the unfortunate thing about that environment was it was a very forced thing. It was a very religious thing. Like, if you don't speak in tongues, you not only don't have the Holy Spirit, you may not be saved. Has anybody ever had that type of experience? Right? So the traditions of man created this really negative environment and something where people couldn't live up to. And so that really caused a thing in our heart to say, like, she was forced to fake it. And I don't like that whatsoever. So there's a joke that goes around saying, if you want to pretend that you're speaking in tongues in a charismatic meeting, you just have to say, wanted to buy a Honda, should have bought a Kia. It kind of sounds like it, right? Let me say this. We're not looking for fake. We're not looking for fake. We're not looking for somebody to do it. So what ended up happening is that we watched this study one night, and I just remember telling Kelly, I said, God loves you so much. He doesn't want to force you to do anything. I believe the earnest desires. We watched this testimony, and she went upstairs to bed, and I was doing some stuff downstairs, I think studying or whatever. And when I came upstairs, I heard this noise in our bedroom. I opened up the bedroom, and here's Kelly, in her sleep, dead asleep. And I go, I close the door, and I walk back downstairs. The next morning, I said, do you know what happened? She goes, no. I go, yeah. Did you know it was several months after that, before in her conscious, that she received? Because the Lord is gentle. He's a good daddy. He's not looking to scare you to death, right? He wants to walk with you. There's this passage in Luke chapter 11 that says, if you fathers know how to give your child a piece of bread instead of a stone or a scorpion when they ask you, you evil fathers, if you know how to do that, how much more does your heavenly Father know how to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? He wants to empower you. He wants to release you into a new level of it. And so I believe this, what we've stepped into, which is the next great awakening, we are in revival now. We may not see the full manifestation of it, but the Lord is bringing revival. And he cares about you so much that he wants you to know it's okay. If you've maybe had a closet prayer language and you've been afraid of what people are going to ask, it's okay. No shame, no fear, no condemnation. Begin to activate it. Begin to share it. If you're sitting there now and say, I don't have my prayer language, it's okay. No fear, no shame, no guilt, no condemnation. Last week, our kids were taught about this, very similar to what I'm teaching you now. And the whole point of it was, is like, your daddy has a gift for you. Who wants it? We're not going to force you. If it doesn't happen right away, it's okay. We love you. All that we're going to love you. Did you know the Father is going to love you as much as he loved you before you spoke in tongues? He loves you with an eternal love. So it's okay. But I believe that God wants to release over someone in this place this morning, activate you into empowerment of praying in a tongue, praying your spirit, and he's going to grow in it to you. So go ahead and put your Bibles aside. And what I'm going to ask you is to take a bold step. If that's you right now and you say, I want to receive a prayer language, would you just raise your hand? Okay. Praise God. All right. Go ahead and stand up. Everyone stand up together. Hey, kiddos, why don't y'all come up in the front real quick? Ha ha ha. These kids are miracle-working kids. So if you're wanting that gift right now, just put your hands out in front of you like you're going to receive a gift. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that every good and perfect gift comes from our Father of lights above. We thank you, God, that you want to give us this gift of a prayer language. And right now, Lord, as you respond to the hearts of those who are asking, earnestly desiring every spiritual gift, that right now you would release over them right now just the impartation, the gift. Come, Holy Spirit, release the gift. And every gift that you want to release, if it's more than tongues, it's awesome. And we pray right now, Lord, for encouragement. I pray for a supernatural peace. I pray right now that as you're releasing and imparting this into them, God, that there's going to be a faith that is built up inside of them that they didn't have previously, that there would be a holy boldness that they didn't have before, that there would be greater fruit than they've ever had before. And we just release this right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Now, prayer team, why don't you come up with these kiddos? If you have a prayer need for anything whatsoever, and maybe that's an illness. I know I was talking to a sister back there who was dealing with a torn rotator cuff. And Christy, I believe that you're supposed to pray over her too, because it was your testimony about your leg too. But we want to invite you, come forward. These kids believe that Jesus still heals. These kids know that it's not them doing the healing. They know it's Jesus, but they get to partner with their Father in heaven to bring radical healing. And so I invite you, come on down right now. If you need healing, physical healing for anything whatsoever, please come on down. The rest of the time, this fellowship, the service is going to be dismissed. But I encourage you, make sure you don't leave here. Even if you just need an impartation of greater childlike faith, come up and ask one of the kids, will you give me what you got? And I believe God's going to release something over you too. So you guys have a wonderful week. Come on Wednesday night. We love you.